How many are tired tonight? How many of you are about to fall asleep? You are so encouraging. Preachers love to hear that folks are about to fall asleep because they know within 5 minutes they will be. What's really fun is those who can keep their eyes open, keep looking at you the whole time and they're not there. Yeah, and then you got the head bobbers. Oh, what kind are you? Wide awake. Okay. Well, we'll see. I was thinking, boy, we need a really, really fast, peppy song, get your jaw moving or something. And the only song I can think of is words that I've made up for it. I can't remember the song. Huh? I got the far out faith that freaks out farmers way down in the depths of my soul. What is that? Joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Hey, now you're waking up. And the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Is that it? All right. All right. I think it was our teens in Seattle. They made up a couple more. I got the far out faith that freaks out farmers. And how do you like that one there, Mr. Buck? And then there was another one. I got the beautiful belief that baffles Buddhas. Way down in the depths of my heart. I think there was another one. I forget it. Romans chapter number 15 tonight. Romans chapter 15. Wipe sleep out of your eyes. Let's look at the Word of God tonight. I want to read the first 7 verses. We may go farther tonight, but that's our goal to start with. Romans chapter number 15. Yeah, you folks need to stand up tonight. Matter of fact, this might be good to have a Catholic service so we're up and down a little bit. All right, let's read from verse number 1. Says, we then are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written afore were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Let us pray tonight. Father, thank you for the tremendous Word of God. How we thank you that we can rely upon it. We can know, thus saith the Lord. We don't have to be anxious about it. We can just rest upon it. And Lord, we pray tonight that we might gain insight, that we might rest even more vehemently. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thinking back just a little bit to chapter number 14, there were given to us 3 principles of conduct. And there's no direct commands here, but there's some principles that are involved. Notice verse number 5, verse 5 of chapter 14. It says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And I would use the principle of conviction here. Are we fully persuaded that it is what God wants us to do. Are we fully persuaded of it? Go to verse number 20, another principle. He says, "For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense." Another principle to guide us, I might call it conscience. Can we look back without guilt in what we did? Can we look back without guilt in what we did? And the last one is verse number 14 and 15. And really what I'd like to kind of concentrate on a little bit as we go into chapter 15. But notice what it says, verse 14. "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died." And so the other principle of conduct in our lives, we might use the word consideration. What we do, would it affect adversely our Christian brothers? It might be legal, it might be all right, but would it bother them? Would it be something that might take them under? Would it be something that be bothersome to them but not you? And God, I believe, is telling us we ought to consider them. And so as we come to chapter number 15, it's that principle that I think we find illustrated really throughout this entire chapter. The first section of Romans that we dealt with was showing both Jew and Gentile as sinners and in need of a Savior. Clear back to chapters 1, 2, and 3. Now as saints, through the grace of God, we find that we are united in ministry. At one point we were divided, though we were all sinners, and yet we find now that by the grace of God we are united in ministry, Jew and Gentile alike. When we see the Great Commission, it involves reaching the lost and building the saved. That ministry is basically twofold. We could label it as evangelism, seeking to reach the lost. We could label it as education and edification for God's people as we seek to build them that they might better evangelize. My thoughts today, as I was thinking about the millennials, many of whom are protesting Trump as being our president-elect, and all upset because they're afraid that he's going to change all of their freebies and they might actually have to get a job and do something and not have free education and all that. I look at all of that and I'm thinking to myself, we have a whole lot of younger folks that need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need him desperately, for without him we have a socialist United States coming one of these days. We warded it off this time, but it is coming if things don't change. We need to reach this generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when we analyze our ministry, there's something that we ought to understand about it, and that is we speak really with one voice. To give a gospel to a lost world and also encouraging each other in that quest. We have an adversary. He's huge. He's tough. And we find that the fight that he puts up is overwhelming. The flesh that you and I live in is weak. The discouragement amongst God's people can often be seen and bring defeat to folks. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit of God and the encouragement of God's people that's going to help us to go forward in spite of overpowering odds. By faith, we can see it quite differently. Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And it's a great, great question that we ought to consider. Well, as we come to verses 1, 2, and 3, I'd like for us to notice, first of all, that you and I, we have a great responsibility to each other. Now, this is something we talk about quite often, but we find it so much throughout the Word of God. And as we really narrow it down, what are we going to do? We're going to find out from the Word of God how to get along with God and how to get along with each other. And so we have a responsibility to each other. And being a Christian is not about personal enjoyment. Now, that's a side benefit, but it's not something we're to seek. Matter of fact, the Bible says, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then He says, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you and I are interested in ministry, really the side benefits don't mean that much to us. There are so many folks who are saying, well, I got to look out for number one. And listen, life is all about me being happy. Now, this is not a popular thing for me to say, but that's not what life's all about. Life is about serving the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking Him. And by the way, God then brings His love. God brings His joy. The fruit of the Spirit wells up within us. But our real interest is what? Doing what He wants us to do. Being a minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said this, yea, doubtless, I count all things but dung. I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Excuse me, I'm thinking that I'm in the wrong spot. I'll get there. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. What is he interested in? The Apostle Paul is interested in ministry to other folks. It's not about him. It's about being a blessing to God and bringing honor and glory to Him. Being a Christian is being like Christ. It's interested in the needs of others. So we come to verse 1, 2, and 3, and let's read those again. We then that are strong ought to what? Bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to what? Please ourselves. It's not about our self-satisfaction, though there will be. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches them that reproach thee fell on me. To be like Christ is seeking to make other folks happy, even when it's very difficult to do so. We had a lady here years ago. Her name was Gertrude. Gertrude was an unusual individual. How old was she when she passed away? About 85? I forget. Had never been married. At one point, there was a man friend. And her mother was sickly. And she made the decision to take care of her mother instead of getting married to this fellow, if I understand the story right. She was a piano teacher all of her life and just loved people. First time I saw her, I was about 7 years of age. And I saw her at church, and all I can remember is as she was walking to the auditorium, there was a teenager with her, and she was laughing like crazy. I didn't know people laughed when they were in church, but she was laughing. And that was the kind of lady she always was. And wanted to, what, make folks happy. Done goofy things sometimes just to try to bring a smile to other folks' face. And that's what life was all about for her, was doing things for other folks. And what a blessing that was. I remember Q coming to church one day, and he went to pick her up. And she didn't want to get her because it was snowing, and she was frail. What did she say to you? But just a tremendous kind of thing there. Listen, a rich, full life. What was it? It was about serving other folks. Her 80th birthday, we had it here at the church, and there was over 400 people showed up. How many 80-year-olds do you know that would have 400 people show up? We had three college presidents here that day. And a host of other folks, many of them what we call the shakers and movers of Council Bluffs, but she'd made a great impact in lives. And what a blessing it is when we can get the idea that life is not about making ourselves happy, but about serving the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking to please those round about us, to make them happy. There is something tremendous about that in our lives. Well, let's go on to verse number 4. And he says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Not only do you and I have this wonderful privilege and responsibility to each other, but we also have a tremendous resource available. There's nothing that gives us the freedom that the Scriptures does. Thank God for the Word of God. I am so thankful to have it. We have the privilege to open up the Word of God, go to the Old Testament and read about the saints of God and all the things that they endured, to look at the circumstances that was opposed upon them, to then go to the New Testament and read of the same kinds of things. And as we see these things unfolding before our eyes, you and I, we learn that we can persevere. We learn that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we do have indeed a hope. What a marvelous thing. We have tremendous resource that's available to us through the Word of God. But not only do we have this resource, but I want us to notice here, and I hope this next section really comes alive to you. We have a wonderful harmony of expression. Let's read these once again. "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be" what? "Like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be" with how many minds? "One mind and one mouth. Glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God." These verses remind me of a choir. Perhaps we could even go and say it's like an orchestra, as all the voices blend together to produce a united message to those who are listening. When our choir steps up here on the platform, every one of the members has a distinct voice. Some, by the way, can what we call harmonize. Others just sing the melody. And as they put all those voices and that harmony together, it makes for a song that all can enjoy. Now, there's something about a choir that is necessary.